The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You've tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win. All right!
If you don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
The world is on fire again. It's on fire. Have you noticed? We're coming unglued. We're coming unhinged as a nation. You're listening to the Mark Harrington Show, your voice of resistance here on WRFD. You can listen to us online also at WRFD.com, or we stream the program on iTunes. And in order to pick that up, you can go to our website at createdequal.net. That's createdequal.net. And you can click on the iTunes icon and you can follow us every week here on the Voice of Resistance, the Mark Harrington Show. Well, you probably can figure out what I'm talking about when I say that the world is on fire, that we're coming unglued, unhinged as a nation, that we've become a lawless nation. And just in the last week or two, we've seen a couple of things happen. We've seen where Emperor Obama became legislator-in-chief instead of commander-in-chief when he gave executive amnesty to millions of illegal aliens in America, and rather than going through the Congress. We've seen the riots and looting and violence in Ferguson, Missouri, because a grand jury did not find enough evidence to convict or at least send to a trial Michael Brown, Darren Wilson, for the killing of Michael Brown. And because of that, the city of Ferguson was set on fire, literally. And then just a couple of days ago, the clearing of a police officer and the choking death of a young man in New York City, Staten Island, Eric Garner. And now the protests are continuing in New York City and across the country in relationship to this idea, this notion that police departments and individual police and law enforcement are racist and do not treat fairly African Americans. Well, today I'm going to take a bit of a departure from what we normally talk about, and I don't do this very often for an obvious reason. That is, I'm a pro-life activist, and so my main area of focus and my calling, if you will, is to defend the preborn against abortion. But I am an activist, and I'm a Christian as well. And when I see what's going on with our nation, sometimes I feel compelled to speak. Now, and I know a lot of people are very emotional about this subject, and it's a very sensitive topic. I get that. And the entire nation has been focused on the discussion of race and its relationship to law enforcement and all of that kind of thing. So I'm not pretending to be an expert on this at all. In fact, I'm not even going to deal with the individual cases per se. I think that they stand on their own merits. I think both sides have reason to be concerned that they're wrong on this, but that's not my point today. I'm not going to talk about the specifics of the Michael Brown case or the Eric Garner case, per se. Because I think, you know, the cop was wrong and Michael Brown was wrong, frankly. I mean, there was reason for all of them to be impugned at some level. And then this thing in New York City, it certainly appears on video that Eric Garner was choked and not given an opportunity to even breathe. I mean, it certainly seems on its face that there was wrongdoing by the police Department by the police officer involved here, too. But I don't believe Eric Garner is completely exonerated either. But anyway, I don't want to get into that today. What I want to talk about is what I believe to be the missing ingredient to find a solution to these apparent injustices that we are seeing play out on our television sets in the last couple of weeks regarding these arrests and the killing of these young black men. And I want to talk about that. I think there's a missing ingredient, a missing component, a topic that's not being discussed when it relates to these situations, these cases. Let me say up front, I'm an activist. I believe in peaceful protest, nonviolent, passive resistance. I believe in that. So I support folks' rights in Ferguson, New York City, across the country to protest as they wish. That's an American a belief. It's an American understanding that we have, that we have a First Amendment right protected by our United States Constitution to speak our minds. I also believe that there's a time and place for disobeying the government, but doing it nonviolently. So there is a place for civil disobedience as well. So having said that, I want to discuss what I believe the missing ingredient is in this whole discussion. And we're going to do that first by setting up two audio clips. The first one is from the wife of Eric Garner, the widow, if you will, who lost her husband in this scuffle with the police department in New York City. And this is a couple days ago. This is she's speaking at a press conference with the Reverend Al Not So Sharpton. And what I want to do is play this clip and just let it stand on its own, and you can listen to it. Make up your own mind. I'd like to talk about it when we come back after the clip. And here it is.
The time for remorse would have been when my husband was yelling to breathe. That would have been the time for him to show some type of remorse or some type of care for another human being's life. When he was screaming.
Let me, Alan, if you would, let me set that up again. And that is this. She's asked about the statement by the police officer saying that he's sorry for what happened to Eric Garner, and he's sorry for the what it's put the family through. He's sorry that this man is no longer alive, that he's dead, and passes on his sympathies and his condolences to the mother. To the wife, the widow. So I'm sorry. Here we go again. This is Eric Garner's widow.
Remorse would have been when my husband was yelling to breathe. That would have been the time for him to show some type of remorse or some type of care for another human being's life. When he was screaming 11 times that he can't breathe. So there's nothing that him or his prayers or anything else would make me feel any different. No, I don't accept his apology. No, I could care less about his condolences. No, I could care less. He's still working. He's still getting a paycheck. He's still feeding his kids. And my husband is 6 feet under. And I'm looking for a way to feed my kids now.
Anyone else?
You know.
All right. Thank you very much.
Who's going to play Santa Claus for my grandkids this year? Because he played Santa Claus for my grandkids. Who's going to do that now?
So what do you want to happen to him? What do you want?
I said that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, there you go. Eric Garner's wife, now widowed because of the actions of a police officer in Staten Island, New York City. And she obviously says that she doesn't accept the apology. She doesn't accept the condolences. She doesn't believe he's remorseful. You can hear her passion and anger in her voice. And honestly, I feel, you know, I would hard for anybody else to feel differently, right? As a father, as a husband to my wife, if I were to lose someone dear to me that way, it would be hard for me to feel differently. However, juxtapose that next to this, which is a football player by the name of Benjamin Watson, who came on CNN to talk about this situation in the St. Louis Rams and how several players for the St. Louis Rams came onto the field with their hands up in the air in solidarity with Michael Brown, apparently, and how that became a controversy in and of itself. And this individual plays for the New Orleans Saints, and he came on to CNN, and what he said, I think, is the real answer to the problem that we find across the country with the anger that these cases have raised in the African-American community. So listen to Benjamin Watson.
In the 60 seconds I have remaining with you, sir, to ask you, we talk so much about this on a macro level. How about on a micro, on a day-to-day basis? How can we, you know, black, white, whatever, improve this?
Well, I honestly think I point to it in the very last paragraph that I read, and I'm encouraged because things aren't the way they used to be. You know, we all have grandparents that told us how things were. We've all seen documentaries. We are definitely making progress, but I think on an individual, on a micro level, the issue is not really skin. The issue is sin. And I firmly believe that the issue is that internally we are flawed. Internally, we need salvation from our sin. Internally, our sin makes us prideful. It makes us judgmental. It makes us prejudiced, which leads to racism. It makes us lash out at people that don't look like us. It makes us look past evidence to protect people that look like us. It makes us do all those things. It makes us lash out in anger. It makes us point fingers. It makes us, our sin that's in us makes us do those things. And the only salvation for this sin is the gospel. The only way to really cure that what's on the inside is understanding that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And so to me, on a micro level, it's understanding.
It. Oh, and just like that, we lost him. I know I heard you guys rapping me. I just couldn't let him go. Benjamin Watson, thank you so much. Good luck at the game Sunday. I'm Brooke Baldwin. See you Monday.
Well, there you go. That's Benjamin Watson from the New Orleans Saints, and he puts his finger on it right there. And that is that the thing that has gotten little discussion, the thing that has gotten, that is the missing ingredient, the topic that is not being brought to the discussion here as it relates to these two situations of Michael Brown and Eric Garner, is the gospel, is forgiveness, is remorse, is having personal humility, is having the grace to forgive, and, might I say, reconciliation. The word that is not being used by the race baiters of Reverend Al Sharpton. By the way, he needs to lose the reverend part of that. This guy is not a reverend. He's a race baiter. Where are the words of Dr. Martin Luther King when we need them? Who said, those who you wish to change, you must first love. Benjamin Watson put it best when he said, this is not skin, it's sin. It's skin. It's sin, not skin. And until we have this discussion, until we are able to transcend the debate and talk about forgiveness, we will never have healing in this country. And I would just ask for you out there, evangelical leaders, it's time to speak up about forgiveness and reconciliation. We'll be right back. My name is Mark Harrington. You're listening to The Mark Harrington Show on WRFD. We'll be right back.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Lila Rose of Live Action.
I just wanted to say that I stand 100% with the efforts of Created Equal, with getting the truth visually out to students on campuses and inspiring them and equipping them to have that debate with fellow students, to encourage them to really question their support for abortion and encourage them ultimately to see the humanity of the unborn child, the violence of abortion, and ultimately to join our side, which is the winning side, the side of life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio 43230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
That's right. We're talking about racial and otherwise reconciliation. What's it take? The world's been set on fire as far as that goes in the debates resolving around these two situations of the death of Michael Brown and now Eric Garner in New York City, Staten Island. And I just felt compelled this week to kind of go off topic from what we normally speak about here, and that is the abortion issue, and talk about this because it has basically captivated the nation. People are talking about it everywhere you go. It's created a great deal of controversy and debate and I would say anger as well. And one thing I just noticed that just seems to be missing is a lot of discussion about justice. A lot of discussion about fairness. A lot of people wanting payback. You listen to Eric Garner's widow. She was very upset and angry and wouldn't receive the apology of the police officer, didn't take his condolences. And many of us could understand that. I get it. But wouldn't it have been powerful? And it would have changed the narrative from here forward. If the Reverend Not So Sharpton would have got her in a room and talked to her and counseled her since the death of her husband and said, listen, the way to go forward here is to forgive. The power of forgiveness, that will change America. Yes, we want justice. I'm one for that, right? Justice for the preborn. We want fairness. We want people to be treated fairly. We want to eradicate bigotry and racism and sexism and ageism and all of that. We get all that. And it's a part of what we should be doing. But we need to forgive. That's the power. The power is in forgiveness, and then comes reconciliation. And that's what has been missing from this whole conversation. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., if he were alive today, I think would have approached it differently. He was a true minister of the gospel. He earned his reverend status. He was actually a co-pastor of a church. Nowadays, these guys just get this the reverend surname, and that's it. And they go around. They don't have any congregation. They could get that anywhere. So could I, for that matter. But he was a true minister of the gospel. He talked about forgiveness as much as he talked about justice. See, the answer to all of this comes through Jesus Christ alone, through the gospel of Jesus Christ alone. And the voice of the church has to make itself heard now. Not these charlatans, not the power brokers out there. They're the ones we shouldn't be listening to. We should be listening to the ministers of the gospel, African American and Caucasian, to speak about what true reconciliation is, the bringing together of people, asking folks to compromise opposing positions, to find common ground where we can actually find solutions to this stuff. And as I said, I'm sympathetic with the protesters. I'm not sympathetic with the ones that are unlawful and who are lighting cities on fire, no. But I support lawful action. I support so-called agitation because you have to bother people in order to get them to think. I get all that. But we've got to understand, like the football player from the New Orleans Saints, Benjamin Watson, said so well, and that is that we're all sinners. Romans 3:23 says we're all sinners, and we fall short of the glory of God. But yet, because of that, yet we were sinners, the Bible says. Christ died for us. So we're all on the same level. We're all on the same plane. No one's above one another when it comes to being without sin. So let's start with that, and a little bit of humility wouldn't be all bad, would it? And to admit that there are mistakes made all around here, and the transcendent figure, the person that's going to be bigger than themselves, that's going to put the issue of the country ahead of themselves, is going to be a person that steps forward and offers forgiveness for that person who wronged them. Think about it. If Michael Brown's family would have come forward and said, listen, We forgive Darren Wilson. We forgive him for what he did. And we want healing. We want others to forgive each other for what's going on in this country. I mean, the best example, of course, we have is Jesus himself, who was put on the cross unjustly. He didn't deserve to be there, did he? We put him there. He didn't deserve to die for us. We put him on the cross, and yet he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Those are the kinds of words that penetrate into the heart and can change the world. And they did. The words of Jesus changed the world. And those words are just as powerful today. And the idea of forgiveness is just as powerful as it was when our Lord walked the earth. In Matthew 6, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said that we should pray, "God, forgive us for our own trespasses as we forgive those who," what? "Trespass against us." See? That's the message that's missing, that needs to be heard. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. He said, "Now all things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ." That is the message of the cross. That should be the message going out to the world, to the African-American community across America, from African-Americans and Caucasian leaders. And Christian leaders bear a stronger, a larger responsibility to get this message out. And so I ask in my audience, African-American leaders, how are you speaking from the pulpit? Are you talking about justice only for Michael Brown and for all the African-Americans who have been wrongly treated, including Eric Garner? Huh? Or are you also talking about forgiveness, humility, reconciliation, seeking common ground, trying to solve problems? Is it this, but? Because that's what they always talk about. Well, you know, yes, we forgive, but... No, and then they go on to heap all kinds of condemnation on somebody. The message of reconciliation is what leads to peace. We hear the chanters, the protesters saying, "No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace." Well, that's true. I agree. But what about no forgiveness, no peace? No reconciliation, no peace? There will not be peace between the races unless we are willing to reconcile. And so that's kind of what I felt I needed to get off my chest here, and hopes that because the media and others in the Christian community, from what I can tell, the media in the Christian community is not talking about this a whole lot, I felt like I needed to share my own personal position on this. To close this out, let me just share a story from a woman named Immaculée Ilibagiza. Immaculée lived in Rwanda in the 1990s, when, of course, there was the genocide. And when she heard about the president being killed by a Hutu, and she was a Tutsi, the genocide began, and the slaughter began, Hutu against Tutsi, and they slaughtered millions over a couple of months' period of time. But Immaculée, when she was praying the Lord's Prayer that says, forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us," she couldn't finish the second stanza. And she felt God saying to her, "If you're going to ask me to forgive you, then you must forgive others." And at that moment, Immaculée, who was in a bathroom for 3 months, forgave her attackers, those who were outside the building waiting to kill her. And she now goes across the world speaking on forgiveness, forgiving those who trespass against us. Immaculée Ilibagiza is a transcendent figure, and we need those kinds of folks right now to step forward in the midst of what's happening in America. Reconciliation's the answer. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net, createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.